Baruch Hashem Adonai, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely lady and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, shalom to all, and please have your Bible, your pen and paper ready to take some notes and enjoy your weekly Bible study into God's Word.
The book of the Revelation.
And what a special, very special, actually, and timely study it is. As well, this is the only book of the Bible that promises an extra blessing when you study it. So, honey, let's open with prayer.
Abba, Father, thank you for our greatest gift of all, our salvation, and the many other blessings bestowed upon your people. We are grateful for giving us our supernatural manual for life that supplies our wisdom and discernment. We do trust in you with all our heart, and will lean not unto our own understanding. We pray for those called by your name, suffering any affliction, while asking that you keep our burdens light. We humbly lift up to you these recent prayer requests, and for the salvations of all our loved ones. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. So, we had a question come in about Adrenochrome, who had seen it advertised for sale, asking, isn't this the blood of children, supposedly to enhance and keep looking youthful?
That is what they say.
Yes, and has become popular within some rich and elite circles. You can check it out yourself. It is sold on the internet, especially the dark web. But what they don't tell people is how they get it, or admit its authentic form comes from children. It is sold in powder form, often encapsulated, but will likely tell you it's from animals, and probably much is. But we sadly do know that the premium stuff, which many of the rich and powerful do consume, is taken from a child while in duress, often tortured, which highly raises their adrenaline during the blood withdrawal.
Well, you know, it's totally satanic.
Oh, extremely so. And we did report on this actually about 5 years ago during the Pizzagate scandal through leaked emails from Edward Snowden, who is still hiding out in Russia.
Yes, because Putin knows what Snowden leaked is true.
Oh, you bet he does. There have always been demonically possessed people that drink tortured children's liquid blood. This is not new. It was very popular throughout history, especially during the Roman Empire era. It's even in the Bible, which is why we are instructed not to eat the blood in Leviticus 17 and Acts 15.
And that's the New Testament.
Mm-hmm. Today, this is what child trafficking is about, along with organ harvesting and pedophilia, and why we have so many missing children, especially from our southern border.
Well, it's actually the biggest industry on the planet.
Yes, even bigger than drug trafficking, if you can believe that. By the way, Amazon even sells a coffee mug that says,
don't even speak to me till I've had my adrenochrome.
And I recently saw a news clip on the testing of what they were calling ambrosia, where older participants were given transfusions of 1.5 liters of young blood, as from teenagers, to reinvigorate older folks who paid, wait for it, approximately $8,000 just to be in this trial.
Most reported feeling really good.
This is how they attempt to normalize adrenochrome. But more on this with pics and links in our next newsletter. And the WEF globalists gather in Davos this week to chart the course for their New World Order continued agenda. Also, the WHO met together last week.
Wonder what the main topics were.
Mm-hmm. And just a quick comment on Biden. I think it peculiar that the deep state is now allowing these recently found documents to be exposed. Lawyers representing a president don't just find something like this and suddenly put it out there where it blows up in the press like this is. As we have witnessed before on numerous times, these guys, well, they would have done everything possible to provide cover for Biden and have. I do believe they, many of whom are Obama holdovers, are throwing Biden under the bus so he won't run again. Perhaps they want California's Gavin Newsom to win the nomination.
Or even Michelle Obama.
Which is why Barack could be behind the discovered documents. After all, he was the president at that time. Anyhow, now there are two special counsels, but Jack Smith for Trump has permission to investigate wherever it takes him, whereas Robert Hur for Biden is limited to just the documents.
The left doesn't mention that.
And they should, because Hunter had access to the documents, and probably his ghostwriter, who was helping him write his book. And they also knew the new Congress would be coming after them. So they probably wanted to get ahead of the game. You know, to call a special counsel, which of course means the press can't then get any answers. And you've heard them say often, oh, we just can't comment because it's under investigation. Blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, it will probably not be a fair outcome, but just enough to stop Biden from running in 2024.
Right. Okay, you can send your end time question by email to Sheila, shofarministries.net, or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please consider a love offering, and we'll be sure to add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. So we read last week in Revelation 1 how John had a vision of Jesus Christ,
which he was told to write about, as well as the present churches, chapters 2 and 3, which, as you will see, has a very prophetic application for the entire church age. And John is also told to write about the future after the church age that he would be shown.
So why these particular seven churches?
Well, for prophecy. Because when taken in order, and we'll name them in a minute, describes the condition of the church age prophetically from the beginning of the church age at Christ's resurrection and the giving of the Holy Spirit as a whole, which, by the way, fulfilled Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and proceeds to the end of the church age, which is where we are now. By the way, sevens are used 54 times in Revelation alone.
Well, seven means complete.
Always. And besides the prophetic application, there are three others. As in, they were local and validated.
So they were actual real churches.
Yes. And each with different circumstances. But again, when taken just in the order that the Lord gives John, we see the consecutive church age from 32 A.D. till the rapture. And since we think from archaeological found writings, especially from the Essenes, that 2032 could be the second coming of Revelation 19.
But the church will be removed 7 years earlier.
Yes, as in 2025. And we'll examine that more when we study Revelation 4. Another application is admonitory, because it could apply to other churches as well, since there were many small home groups, which is why these seven letters went to all the assemblies, and we are very blessed to have these letters today. Still, another very important application as well is that they are also homiletic, or better put, personal.
To anyone who has an ear.
That's right. Now, each church letter has an opening to include their name, a title of Jesus Christ, which will give you a flavor for the substance of the letter by his description that Jesus uses for himself, and it's different in each letter. Then comes a commendation, you know, like a praise.
Except two churches are not praised.
Then comes a criticism.
But with two church exceptions.
Then the corrections or exhortations on how to improve. Then the call or closure. Then then he gives a promise with the challenge to overcome.
So each letter has seven parts.
Go figure.
Okay, let's look at the first church.
The age of Ephesus, whose name means darling, and prophetically speaking covers the years 32 till about 100 AD.
They started really gung-ho.
Yeah, but then unfortunately lost their first love of intimacy, that espousal love. We are familiar with Ephesus because Paul also wrote an epistle to the Ephesians, which included marriage and love, and then compared it with Jesus and his bride. Paul set up missionary headquarters in Ephesus, and later John returned there after Patmos, and many believe it's then that John wrote the gospel.
So, after he wrote Revelation.
Probably, because it's just as mystical and organized with sevens, although not quite as obvious as Revelation. So, let's read chapter 2.
To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand.
Remember from chapter 1, verse 20, the stars are those who give the message, usually the pastor or leader of that congregation.
Who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands.
And we know also from chapter 1, the seven lamps represent us, his church. We are a symbol of that menorah in the temple whose light never goes out. Verse 2.
I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot hear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say the apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience. And have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary.
And that's the commendation. Now here comes the criticism, verse 4.
Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love.
You know, that beginner's passion for Christ. Does anyone have an ear? And now the correction, verse 5.
Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent.
And now the closure, verse 6.
But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate.
And now the promise, verse 7.
He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
That's the millennial kingdom. Now remember, this is to be applied to anyone with an ear. So ask yourself if it relates to you personally. Also, please read Acts chapters 18 through 20 this week for background on Ephesus, especially chapter 20. For Paul continues to warn of wolves that come to draw them away from the true God. And 35 years later, Jesus Christ, through John in Revelation, writes the letter to Ephesus where he says they passed that test, although lost their first love.
That passion.
Mm-hmm. But is glad they hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, and we'll talk about them later where they are more prevalent. So, Ephesus held on to tradition but lost the hunger to grow closer. Ideally, every part of our being should be consumed with Christ. Think on how to be a brighter light wherever you're at, seeking out more of his truths in continual pursuit.
But that's not what the majority in the church says.
Oh, certainly not. Today, many say, oh, God's cool. He understands me. He knows my heart. Oh, yeah, he does. And he also sees that many today prefer a secular hobby over spending time with him in his word.
And that's just a fact.
So the Lord says to repent or he would remove their lampstand.
And you can say he did.
Yes, in the 4th century, the conquest of Muhammad made the church at Ephesus a group of ruins and a cornfield. Okay, now let's move on our timeline from 100 AD to about 312 AD, which covers the age of Smyrna, whose name means an embalming spice, as in myrrh. Remember, we can get the flavor for what's coming by its name and Jesus Christ's descriptive title. Smyrna is located 40 miles north of Ephesus. It was considered to be the safest seaport of its time, with a booming economy, for it sat on a main trade route between Rome, India, and Persia. Alexander the Great personally planned the city and called it the Ornament of Asia.
Yeah, it had a large Jewish population.
Yes, but many more pagan Greeks. The main street was paved in gold with the Temple of Zeus at the one end and another female god statue at the other. An archaeologist found the statue of Diana there, and we know perverse sexual worship centered around these gods and emperor worship in the Roman Empire as well. Therefore, and this is why it's called Smyrna, the martyred age, because the real Christians were highly persecuted. You can read about it in Fox's Book of Martyrs, where he reports at least 5 million were martyred. And they were also used as a scapegoat upon Rome experiencing some pestilence and a plague.
It's the Christians' fault.
Exactly. The people thought the gods were angry that Christianity was in their city, similar to the Jews throughout the ages. Therefore, this is one of the two churches that God gives no criticism to.
How could he?
Mm-hmm. Do you know the other?
Yes, Philadelphia.
Of course, that's us. So, nothing bad is said against Smyrna, just told to remain faithful, to overcome, and would not be hurt by the second death. Smyrna is still, I'm told, thriving today in the area they now call Izmir in Turkey. A little side note here is knowing myrrh is an embalming spice. So what were the three gifts given to Jesus after his birth?
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Yeah, that's right. However, according to Isaiah 60, verse 6, what gifts will the multitudes give Jesus as our soon coming king?
Only gold and frankincense.
So where's the myrrh?
No longer needed.
Of course. He had already been buried and now lives forevermore. That's a little gold nugget that most people miss when reading that casually. Okay, with that background, let's now read the letter to Smyrna, chapter 2, verses 8 through 11.
And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life.
Okay, notice his title was dead, came back to life. So it's pretty fitting for the church at Smyrna, since every church, remember, has his title fitting the church written to. Continue verse 9.
I know your works, tribulation, and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested.
And aren't we often tested in various ways?
And you will have tribulation 10 days.
And that means 10 emperors.
Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death.
Okay. Let's talk about the phrase, those that say they are Jews but are not, rather of the synagogue of Satan.
Oh, do explain.
He's pointing to the descendants of Esau, who were later called Edomites because they settled in Edom in the area of southern Jordan today. The Greek name for Edom is Idumea. So they became known as the Idumeans, making Hebron their capital, which remained under Edomite control until Judas Maccabees retook the city.
Remember him from Hanukkah.
And by 126 B.C. was reconquered by the Jewish army. Then a pivotal event took place in which these Idumeans were forced to be proselytized into Judaism or leave or die. This resulted in many Idumeans pretending to become Jews, yet really were not, especially not in their heart as we think of conversion today. Then the Idumeans were promoted by the Romans, one as king of Israel in 37 B.C. named Herod the Great, who, by the way, had many descendants.
So Rome thought the Jews would accept them better.
Sure. After all, they claimed to be Jewish, even if they were proselytes. So all the Herods, and I think there were about five, were Idumeans. So one killed Jewish babies, another killed John the Baptist, still another James, the brother of John.
Acts 12:2.
And the Romans in 70 AD burned down the temple and renamed the whole area of Israel Palestine. Therefore, it was no longer called Idumea. Now, when the Jews left in the diaspora, most Idumeans, they stayed, and therefore took on the geographical name of the Palestinians, since that's what Rome just decided to call it. Now, remember, you do take on the name of where you reside.
So, you said all that to say the Palestinians are descendants from Esau.
Yeah, that is correct. I guess that's the teacher in me. Okay, next week we'll look at the church age from 312 AD to 606 AD. So I hope you'll join us, and don't forget to do your homework. Read that those scriptures in Acts, especially chapter 20. And we'll begin next week with a quick review and then get right into the next church. So now it's time to ask, will you escape the awful tribulation coming? You know, Luke 21 says anyone can with just a meaningful prayer. So repent and invite him inside of you. Make him Lord over your life. Let him rule over you instead of the God of this world. Because if Jesus isn't ruling your life, then Satan is. There really is no in between. And to those of you who are lukewarm, wake up and get your act together now. Store those treasures and don't lose any rewards. I'm going to leave you with the ironic blessing from number 622. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That special shalom. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, you're going to prosper in a lot of ways, a lot of ways you don't even understand or realize at the time. You should memorize Psalm 122, verse 6. Till next time, shalom.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.